How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
TFA fam, welcome back in. Going to switch things up a little bit this week. Going to go back to more of the podcast style that we used to do a couple years ago. Starting to get a little stale with the way we were doing it. So we're switching up. Fuck it. We're gonna do it live. We're just going to roll through this. We're going to go through some of our top plays for week 12 at running back and wide receiver. Then at the end, going to hit go over some buys and sells with the trade deadlines approaching. Hopefully yours hasn't passed yet. So no matter what you're looking at in terms of your record, whether you're sitting pretty, whether you're trying to scratch and claw your way in, we got you covered. I'm going to give you some buys to look at with the stretch run coming. So with that out of the way, Kev, let's just dive into it, man. We're going to start with our top plays at running back. I did just want to throw out a couple of situations to monitor as we move forward throughout the week because we are recording this on a Tuesday. So we still don't have all of the injuries and everything else that we're going to get throughout the next couple of days. But for the running backs anyway, Tyjae Spears left the game last week with a concussion. Probably wouldn't expect him to play. So it's probably going to be a huge workload for Tony Pollard and what is going to be a difficult matchup. The Chiefs coming back, maybe you can shed some light on this, Kev, with Pacheco. His practice window was opened up. I wouldn't expect him to come back. Even if he does, I would not expect that to be a big workload for him in his first game back. And then lastly, the Raiders could be without Zamir White and Alexander Mattison for whatever that matters. So, Kev, wherever you want to start, man, whether you want to touch on the Chiefs situation or just jump right into one of your favorite starts for running back, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think when we look at the situation here with the Chiefs, I would expect Pacheco to be back. I think both of them are probably, you should view them both as probably flex options at this point without really knowing the situation or how this is going to play out. I think it's going to be Pacheco, who's probably going to get back to being the early down work, and then you'll probably see Kareem Hunt mix in and get some of the short yarded stuff and then, you know, some of the pass catching work as well. I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed in that because of how good Kareem Hunt has been to them. But, I mean, if you've watched any Chiefs games, you will see that Kareem Hunt just is not – he's not great. He has gotten there because of usage and usage alone. He can't run any outside zones. He's not explosive at all. And so they're basically just running him up the middle every single time. He's getting 3 or 4 yards a carry. So Pacheco provides a much, you know, much more in terms of explosiveness and stuff like that. So I do expect that's the way things are going to go. Maybe early on it's a little bit more split, but I think as time goes on, you're going to see Pacheco reclaim that role as kind of the RB1. I think you can see something like a Jerick McKinnon type role within this offense. So that being said, let's just go ahead and get into some of our top plays of the week. I'm going to start things off with Tyrann Tracy versus the Bucks. I mean, since week 5, the dude's been an absolute baller. He's averaging 16 carries, 86 rushing yards, and a half touchdown per game, 15 fantasy points per game. He also ranks 9th in explosive run rate, 13th in missed tackles forced per attempt. But the one thing that's been a little frustrating with him is just his lack of involvement in the passing game. He is running 50% of the routes and seeing a 9% target share within this offense. But you would think of somebody with the background that he has, somebody that was a wide receiver for the first 3 years of his career in college and then switched over to running back, that he would be involved a lot more in the passing game, but it just hasn't really been the case. We'll see how this will play out with Daniel Jones, you know, now being benched and now the third string quarterback here and Tommy DeVito being brought in, you know, brought up as the starting quarterback here. I went back and looked last year to see if there was any real big changes from when Saquon Barkley was there, when DeVito was the starting quarterback, and there really wasn't anything massive. So we'll see on this how this is going to play out. But either way, I still think that despite the fumble that cost him the game before they went on bye. I still think Tyrone Tracy is going to be the workhorse here. And this is a fantastic matchup because the Bucs have allowed a 4.7 yards per carry, which is the ninth highest rate. They've also allowed their 12th explosive run rate allowed, their last missed tackles forced per attempt, and then their 1.80 yards before contact per attempt ranks ninth. So overall, the Bucs have allowed these six most PPR points of position. So this is just a tremendous matchup for Tyrone Tracy this week. I really love this spot for him. He has basically been the absolute workhorse. Devin Singletary is taking on like a little bit of a secondary role. So Tyrone Tracy, I think, is a great play this week.
It really pains me for, obviously, we're talking redraft, but for dynasty purposes, I have zero Tyrone Tracy, and it really pains me, man. It hurts because we both liked him, and he was a popular, you know, rookie sleeper for a lot of people. So it's not like me and you were out there banging the drum for him and nobody else was. But as much as I liked him, I got him in no dynasty leagues, and like every week where I see him tear it up, it just hurts more and more. I'm gonna go ahead and throw out my first one. I'm gonna start with David Montgomery. Really throwing him out there because we see Jahmyr Gibbs ranked over Monty every single week. And in most cases, it isn't particularly close. A week like this where we have as many teams on buys, I did notice it was a little bit closer in consensus rankings. I get the love for Gibbs, obviously, but like I feel like too much shade is thrown on Monty. Like he's some kind of fucking leper or something when all the dude does is put up fantasy points. I said last week we shouldn't be surprised if Monty comes out and goes for like 102 scores. Came through with the touchdowns. This game sets up similarly against the Colts. Although the Colts have only allowed the 13th most fantasy points per game to running back, so it doesn't look like a smash matchup on paper. There are two numbers that I love for Monty this week. Indy has allowed the fourth most rushing yards to running backs, as well as allowing the fourth highest yards after contact per attempt. Monty is fifth in juke rate, sixth in evaded tackles per player profiler, also having the fourth lowest stuff rate on his runs. This is obviously a fantastic spot for Gibbs as well, but nobody is ever debating whether or not to start Gibbs. I was trying to think about this, and obviously we've gotten hundreds of questions at this point, but I honestly don't know if we've ever had a start sit question with Gibbs in it this year, whereas we always have questions every single week about Monty. I feel like enough is enough. It needs to stop.
Yeah, it's crazy, too, because they pretty much split touches like right down the middle. Like I was looking at this last week, whenever I think I talked about this, and Jahmyr Gibbs, and they are literally splitting touches. Like it is 50-50 almost across the board, almost exclusively. Only real edge that Jahmyr Gibbs has over him is he gets a higher – he's more involved in the passing game than David Montgomery is. But – that's about it. But Dave Montgomery has obviously been solid this year. He's been one of the better running backs against, you know, if you remember his ADP, I mean, he was like a fifth or sixth round pick. It wasn't like people were clamoring to draft David Montgomery.
Not at all.
It was all about Jahmyr Gibbs. So it has been one of those situations this year for him. But obviously this is one of the best backfields you can get. I mean, just the Lions have just absolutely crushed it. And the best thing about the Lions, too, is they just do not take their foot off the gas. Like, they're not a team that once they get up a little bit, they kind of coast from there. I mean, we saw it last week against the Jaguars. I mean, they ripped their soul out and stomped on it right in front of them. Like, I mean, up 38-6, I think it was, and they go for it on 4th-and-3 and score a touchdown. I'm like, who does that? Like, Dan Campbell does. So, I mean, hey, we for fantasy purposes, phenomenal. Absolutely love to see it.
Sign me up.
Yeah. So you're never really worried about your guys being out of it, that situation. So next up, I'm going to move over to my next guy, and that is going to be Brian Robinson Jr. against the Cowboys. Robinson returned to action last week after missing 2 weeks with an injury. He saw 57% of the rush attempts. He ran 25% of the routes, but only saw a 3% target share. And that's been a pretty constant theme for him over the last 3 or 4 weeks that he's played. He hasn't really been involved in the passing game. It's been Austin Ekeler basically handling that role. Eckler's handling roughly around 50% of the snaps as well. So this is definitely a 50-50 split. But Brian Robinson is basically seeing all of the touches on the ground where Eckler's coming in and getting some touches on the ground, but then getting a lot more of the pass catching work. But Brian Robinson has still been one of the better running backs this year. He's been more reliable. He's scored a lot of touchdowns, so they do trust him there. He's getting that role as well. So, but this is a smash matchup for really both of these running backs, I think. But more so for Brian Robinson because of I do feel like the Commanders should be able to have really control of this game. But on the season, he has seen a 62% total On the season, Brian Robinson has seen 62% of the total opportunities. He's averaging 14.2 PPR points per game. But the Cowboys have allowed a 5.06 yards per carry, which is the fourth highest rate in the league. 10 rushing touchdowns, the second only behind the Jets. And they have been allowing big plays on the ground with a 7.9% explosive run rate, second highest rate in the league. Their 38% stuff rate is fourth worst. And their 2.32 yards before contact is the third highest rate in the league. So this is just a tremendous matchup this week for Brian Robinson. I think he is a very much a borderline RB1 option this week.
And I feel like a lot of the Eckler stuff last week, too, is just matchup-based. You know, I mean, I don't think that they're going to need to involve him as much in the passing game, which is obviously going to open up some more touches for B-Rob as well. My second play at running back this week is going to be James Conner, going up against a Seahawks defense that is allowing the 10th most fantasy points per game to running backs on the year. Seattle has been better in recent weeks, though. Back-to-back games, they have faced Kyren Williams and Christian McCaffrey, held McCaffrey to like 4.6 or 4.5 yards per touch. Kyren Williams was at 4.1. It's certainly possible something similar happens to Connor in this spot, but it's too hard not to love his role and involvement. He's eighth in weighted opportunities on the year. In his five games leading up to the Cardinals Week 11 bye week, he also quietly racked up 20 targets, which tied him for the seventh most over that time frame. The Arizona backfield as a unit has seen the 12th highest target rate across the league at 18.1%, which is something that really surprised me when I saw it. So basically, this is just a long-winded way of saying I like Connor despite the tougher matchup.
I think some of it the answer might be in that they traded for Ernest Jones. And because I was looking at that, since they basically acquired him, their run defense has gotten a lot better. So I do think that has something to do with it there, with why that there's been that big of a change, because before they were dreadful against the run. But I, like you said, I still think Connor is a good play. They've started to involve him a little bit more in the passing game too, which is a positive, because that's not something they were doing before. But I mean, I think the Cardinals have been a pretty big surprise this year. I mean, their offense has actually looked, you know, pretty good, and their defense is actually surprisingly. I've dropped the must play defenses and streaming options for this week, and the Cardinals are a really good streaming option. I think this week as well, their defense quietly, you know, for fantasy purposes, been a top 12 defense this year. And it's funny because I was thinking about this, and literally almost any, like, if I ever listen to anything, like especially like DFS or whatever, but whatever, every time people talk about the Cardinals, it's like, oh, they're playing the Cardinals this week, smash matchup, and it really hasn't been. So like I think sometimes we just get caught in like biases and stuff like that, and just assume that's how this team is. I've been doing more of just like zooming in a little bit more instead of like looking at the totality of a season, trying to look at like the last 6 weeks and see how these teams are operating, because I think a lot of things change over the course of the season as teams make adjustments. So, but either way, I think James Conner though is just a really good play this week and also moving forward. But next up for me is going to be Najee Harris. I am not typically a Najee Harris guy. I'm not somebody that usually goes out of my way to really think that he is a good play, but I actually think he is this week. So since week six, it has been a little bit more of a split between him and Jaylen Warren, where he's only handling 52% of the snaps, 53% of the rush attempts. He's running 30% of the routes, but seeing a 7.5% target share. He is averaging 15 PPR points per game, but really where I really like this, really like him, and actually I like Jaylen Warren as well. I think Jaylen Warren's a really solid flex option, is the weather in this game looks absolutely brutal. Like, it, like this is one of the first, like, real weather games we're going to get this year. And right now what it's looking like is heavy rain during the game, 20-mile-an-hour winds with 35-mile-an-hour wind gusts. It's going to be closer to 35 degrees outside. Like, this game feels very much like it is going to be grounded pound. And defense. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Jameis throwing the football. We know the Steelers have no problem with just running the ball if you allow them to. And so that's why I like Najee Harris so much this week. And Cleveland really has been really bad against the run. So on the season, they have allowed the seventh fewest fantasy points to running backs. But this is something what I was just talking about. Once we zoom in, though, since week six, the Browns have really fallen off. They have allowed a 4.5 yards per carry, which is the 12th highest rate. They have allowed a ton of big plays, which shows with their 6.5% explosive run rate. That's the sixth highest rate in the league. and they have also allowed the sixth highest yards before contact per attempt. I mean, we just saw last week with Taysom Hill rip off a 75-yard run. And listen, I love Taysom Hill, but Taysom Hill is not some speed demon that should be ripping off 75-yard runs against people. So it's been one of the biggest problems with Cleveland this year has been this explosive play that they continue to allow, and it's really killed them. And so, I like I said, I'm not usually a huge Najee guy, but on a week where we have six teams on bye, I think he's pretty close to a top 15 running back play this week, especially in the game environment that we're going to be seeing with this game. So I think everything lines up for Najee. He's probably going to see 20, 25 touches in this game. And so if you have him, I think you feel pretty good about playing him.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned Jaylen Warren in passing too, but I agree with you. I think because of how everything is setting up, he's a solid flex play. I was looking at, you know, the weather and, you know, the Steelers being, I think they're up and down against the run. I don't think they're like as dominant as people will think they are. So I was trying to like maybe talk myself into some like Jerome Ford as like a full PPR, like flex kind of guy, you know, assuming that Nick Chubb has trouble, you know, going up against the Steelers defensive line. But then I was like, this is Jameis Winston we're talking about. I can't imagine there's going to be too many times that they're going to dial up, you know, screens to Jerome Ford, or we see him dump off to him. So I looked at that for like a second, then I was like, no, I can't. Can't do that with Jameis at the helm.
Yeah, I don't expect there to be a lot of throwing the ball. I mean, so typically we know that weather is usually not that big of a deal. It's the wind, the factor that matters the most. And basically, I know it's a study that was done a few years ago that basically once it gets to 20-mile-an-hour winds, quarterback production drops off a cliff. And so it's just the game environment does not set up nicely. Now, it is still a few more days away, and so it's possible that, you know, maybe the weather changes a little bit, but right now it has not changed at all. And it looks like it's going to be pretty brutal. So, like, I really want no part. And it sucks because, like, I want no part of the passing games. I wouldn't play Russell Wilson. I wouldn't play Jameis Winston. I wouldn't play George Pickens. I wouldn't play Cedric Tillman. I wouldn't play Jerry Jeudy. Like, it's possible one of them get there off a situation. But for the most part, it's just not a good situation for either one of these teams. And both of these teams have the ability to run the ball, you know, at some level. So, especially the Steelers, we know they want to run the ball. And so I think that's what you're going to see. It's going to be kind of a gross, you know, old style, 90s style of football game where the defense and running the ball. And so I actually don't even mind Nick Chubb either as an option, just because I don't think that's good. I don't think you're going to be able to do a lot of passing the ball. And if you're not worried about a lot of, you know, the Steelers, you know, ripping up, you know, some deep balls, stuff like that, because on the surface, whenever I first saw this game, I was like, man, this is a great matchup for the Steelers this week and for George Pickens, because the Browns, like I've said, have allowed so many explosive plays this year. It lines perfectly with what Russell Wilson loves to do, but I just can't do it this week.
Which is a shame. So I agree. We're not going to have the Russell Wilson moonshots that we've seen over the past couple of weeks. But moving on to my third play at running back for the week, I am going to go to Kareem Hunt. I know we kind of touched on this a little bit in terms of, you know, Pacheco potentially coming back. But if Pacheco does miss, Hunt is going to jump into the top 10 for me easily, going up against a Panthers defense that has been absolutely gashed on the ground all year. Even if Pacheco comes back, like, I think because of the injury that he's coming back, plus the opponent that they're facing going up against the Panthers, I don't see them throwing Pacheco in here and Pacheco getting, you know, more than like 10 touches. Like, I just think there's no reason to do it. I think they need to ramp him up slowly. I think this could be a multi-week thing with how Pacheco is used. You know, obviously the Panthers offense has looked functional with Bryce Young under center, but I just don't see this being a situation where like the Panthers are pushing the Chiefs, especially the Chiefs coming off of their first loss. I just don't see a scenario where the Panthers are gonna really push them, and Pacheco is gonna need to be, you know, forced into like elevated touches or an elevated snap count. So the Chiefs implied team total this week is also the third highest for Week 12. So there should be plenty of opportunities for the signature Kareem Hunt 1 yard plunge.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I don't see any reason for them to get ultra aggressive with Isaiah Pacheco in a game like this. It's just not really needed. So I typically agree. I do think both of them are definitely in play. Like, I think Kareem Hunt probably for this week is probably the smarter play. he's probably more of the, you know, top 24, you know, RB2, where Pacheco is probably more of an RB3 option for this week. But it really comes down to what other options you have. Like, I don't think you have to play Isaiah Pacheco either. Like, yeah, if you have other options, which I'm assuming at this point you should because of, you know, he's been out for so long. But if that's the case, I think you could look there. But I don't think it's like a, you know, he's certainly not like a must play or anything like that, even though the matchup is definitely there. So my last guy that I want to hit on, I want to talk about this the Buccaneers situation right now. Bucky Irvin gets a great matchup this week against the Giants. Yeah. But Bucky and Rashad White have essentially split touches this season. Bucky is more of the 1B in the offense. He's seeing about 45% of the snaps, 40% of the rush attempts, 37% of the routes, with a 10% target share. He's also averaging 14.9 fantasy points per game since week 6. Bucky has easily been the better runner between the two. Bucky ranks 4th in yards created per touch, 3rd in elusive rating, and 7th in evaded tackles so far this year. Also, as a receiver, he's been really good. I mean, 15th in yards per out run, 19th in yards per reception. And now you get a matchup against the Giants, who just have been exploited, time and time again against the run. They're 5.39 yards per carry, the second highest rate in the league. Their 10.2% explosive run rate is by far number one in the league. They're also 11th in missed tackles forced per attempt, and their 2.42 yards before contact per attempt is also 8th most. So all those things being said, I think this sets up really well for Bucky Irving to see, you know, maybe even a little more of an expanded workload, because I think it's certainly a possibility if this team is able to build a pretty quick lead. And let's be honest, there is a lot of dysfunction going on right now, you know, surrounding the New York Giants. Report came out, we were talking about it right before the show, but that there's a lot of players that are really upset about how this thing was handled with Daniel Jones. And so, I don't know, this could be a big-time letdown spot for the Giants. And so it could just be great news for Bucky Irving to see an expanded role, you know, on the ground. But either way, he has been one of the better, more efficient running backs we've seen this year. And this is just a really good spot. So right now I have Bucky Irving as RB20, and I have Rashad White at RB24. I think both of these guys are in good spots this week. And better news, too. The last time this team played, Sean Tucker didn't even see a single snap. So that was also a positive, because they was kind of trending towards a little bit being more of a three-down workhorse for our three-headed monster or backfield here. And that kind of went away. So that's positive. And also, Mike Evans sounds like he's going to be back this week too. So it could be wheels up. I mean, the Bucs may end up smoking the Giants.
Yeah, happy Mike Evans week to all of you who are going to be celebrating. I know I certainly will be. The last guy I'm going to talk about is going to be Javonte Williams. Kev, my Audric Estime hate was vindicated last week. We ended up getting a bunch of questions on, you know, start sets with Audric Estime. Every single, I don't think I said Estime a single time. And last week was really why. It's not necessarily the player, just because I don't trust that situation. You know, obviously we can get reverse rug pulled here with Javonte Williams, but you know, after we saw Javonte get out touch, 14-1 or 13-1 in week 10, Sean Payton comes out, says Audric Estime is going to be more involved. And then what ended up happening, Estime, I don't think got a touch until like the third quarter or something. The majority of his touches came once this game was out of hand for the Broncos. It was all Javonte early on. Now we're going up against a Raiders defense that have allowed the eighth most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. Denver goes in this matchup as 8.5-point road favorites, which is not something I thought I'd be saying at the beginning of the year. Williams hasn't been particularly explosive, but that's all right here because Denver's offensive line has the 11th highest adjusted yards before contact per attempt number, and the Raiders are allowing the 8th highest yards after contact per attempt across the league. So, you know, Javonte Williams is going to have to get it done in terms of, you know, running away from this defense. Holes could just open up, and then he's going to be able to break tackles and get away from that. So I do like Javonte Williams, but as always, there is the chance that we have the rug pull on Williams this week, and it ends up being a Jaleel McLaughlin week. But I think Williams probably has the safest floor for touches, although he might not be the running back who ends up leading them this week.
It was such a weird situation because Sean Payton the last 2 weeks prior to, you know, that game last week was Audric Estime's earned more touches. He's gonna get more opportunities. Audric Estime's gonna be the guy. You know, so like that's where it all came from. And of course, you know,
not so fast, my friend.
I got. So, you know, Javonte Williams comes out and just controls that game. Had a pretty solid game, I mean, all things considered. So, you know, we'll see how this continues. But, yeah, I mean, it is a good spot. It's a great matchup. Another team that is in not, you know, just continues to lose. I know that there was a close game last week against the Dolphins, but I do think Javonte. And Javonte makes sense, too, in certain ways because he's also pretty involved in the passing game as well. So, I don't mind that call at all. He was actually somebody that I was considering talking about, you know, on this show, but then I ended up changing it up and going with Bucky Irving. So I decided to talk about, so, yeah. But, that being said, like, I mean, I think this week is a little rough. Like, I feel like this week is probably going to be more of a week where you're going to want to play wide receivers in the flex, where really before today, it had been very much like you want to play running backs in the flex because running backs have just been phenomenal. Like, it's crazy that, like, running back averaging 14, 15 fantasy points per game in PPR formats, that's like an RB20. That's typically almost like a back-end RB1 in years past. Like, we have just seen this crazy run this year with running backs where all these guys are producing. No injuries are really occurring all that much. We've had a couple here and there, but nothing crazy for the running back position. And it's just been absolute chaos for wide receivers. Like, it just have lost so many wide receivers along the way. This year, so it's been pretty wild. But this week, I don't think there's like a ton of just like flex options that we're going to be, you know, pounding the table to want to play this week at running back. So to me, it's very much more of a wide receiver in the flex option type of week because there's just more options and I think it's a little bit safer. So that being said, with that, let's move over to wide receivers and talk about some of those guys that we want to hit on. First for me, it's going to be Ladd McConkey. Going up against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, this is one of the best matchups you can ask for. But McConkey, you know, rookie season, seeing a really healthy 24% target share, averaging roughly 6 targets per game. Right now he's playing about 63% of the snaps from the slot. He's averaging 13 PPR points per game. But efficiency-wise, he checks all the boxes, 21st in yards per out run, 16th in yards after the catch, and 15th in yards per team pass attempt right now. McConkey has seen a target share of 32% against man coverage. It has a 41% win rate against man coverage this year, which is top 12 among all wide receivers. And that's going to be critical to what we're about to talk about next because the Ravens have allowed the third most fantasy points to the slot. So that is one check mark for Ladd McConkey. The Ravens play man coverage around 35% of the time, which is a top 10 in the league. And McConkey has been the man beater for this offense this year. He's averaging 0.81 fantasy points per route run against man coverage, where Quentin Johnson has been actually the zone beater. And the Ravens play in terms of zone. They play cover 3 at the highest rate. And Quentin Johnson has absolutely torched cover 3 this year, averaging 7.8 fantasy points per route run. McConkey is a locked-in wide receiver 2 for me this week, where Quentin Johnson is actually a pretty solid wide receiver 3 play. This game is going to be – could be absolute bonanza, kind of like what we saw against the Bengals the week prior. We know the Ravens' secondary is terrible. They have trouble stopping everybody. And so outside of, I guess, the Steelers, they were able to kind of manhandle them a little bit. But it also felt like the Steelers were also playing very much like down and dirty. We're just going to play defense. We're going to trust our defense here, and we're just going to run the ball. And that is a little bit more of what happened there. But either way, I think this is a great matchup. And honestly, we've seen a lot of really development here over the last month of the season with Justin Herbert really starting to throw the ball a lot more. They're starting to put in more concepts for him, like what Lamar Jackson would do. As well. And so, I mean, it's been awesome to see with Justin Herbert, who nobody wanted Justin Herbert. Like, Justin Herbert that either wasn't went undrafted or has been dropped. And for the last month, like, he has been a top 10 quarterback because of his rushing upside, because of what he's done there. So I really like this spot for all their pass catchers. So I think Will Disley is also a really good play this week. But mainly, it's going to be Ladd McConkey. It's going to be Quentin Johnson.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Quentin Johnson, because I was for sure guilty of this, but it's good to see him rebound off of the year that he had last year. You want to talk about somebody that was completely unwanted? Look no further than Quentin Johnson, but he's quietly been pretty consistent too. He's been a wide receiver 3 in 5 of his 8 games, which, you know, using the bar of wide receiver 3 isn't that high of a threshold. But considering with how people were talking about him last year, if I would have told you at the end of the year last year, like, hey, out of Quentin Johnson's 8 games that he plays next year, he's going to be a wide receiver 3 or better in 5 of them, there's zero chance you would have believed me. So I'm just happy to see him see him play well after he was literally left for dead following his rookie year. But going to move on to my first play at wide receiver for week 12. That is going to be Juwan Jennings, who has just been on a tear since the 49ers came back off of their bye week. Jennings has racked up 22 targets the past 2 weeks, has at least 7 catches for 90 yards in both of those games. In the last 2 weeks, Jennings is second among all wide receivers in target share and first read percentage. The Packers have allowed the 11th fewest fantasy points per game to wideouts, but it seems like they could be without Jaire Alexander entirely, or even if he does play, could be limited snaps after he was not able to make it through the first half with a knee injury this past week. I still like this play regardless of what happens with George Kittle as well, who missed last week with a hamstring injury. So I think you feel pretty good about plugging Jennings back into your lineup for week 12.
Yeah, he is a phenomenal play. Honestly, when you just look at some of the stuff he's done, I mean, he is seeing a 34% first read target share, which is top in the league. But honestly, Jennings has ran nearly 50% of his routes from the slot this season, which sets up really nicely against the Packers. They've allowed the 14th most PPR points to the slot wide receiver this season. This is also the 6th best matchup for any wide receiver this weekend. And so I really like that call for Juwan Jennings. I mean, he's just been a monster. 4th in yards per out run, 9th in yards per team pass attempt, like checks every single box. And he has been so good this year. And he's definitely been their number one wide receiver. We kind of keep waiting for Deebo Samuel. People keep talking about him. It was like, oh, he's a buy. But it just had, I mean, he's had some unlucky stuff happen to him. He did. I remember he had like a 70-yard touchdown call back.
Penalty.
And my goodness, I feel like this year we've had so many like big plays get called back by penalty. I know on Monday night we had the Nico Collins first play of the game, 77-yard touchdown, got called back by a illegal man downfield. It's just, I don't know. I feel like that's happened like multiple games this year where it's just been one after another. It's just been crazy. But anyways, Juwan Jennings, absolutely love that call though. Great play this week. My next guy is going to be Calvin Ridley. Since D-Hop was traded, Ridley has been peppered with targets. He's receiving an elite 33% target share. His 39% first read target share ranks 3rd among all wide receivers. That trails only Malik Nabers and the aforementioned Juwan Jennings. And he leads the league with a 51% air yard share and is averaging nearly 15 yards per reception. He's averaging 17.6 PPR points per game. He gets a really good matchup against the Texans, who allow the 12th most fantasy points to outside wide receivers this year. Over the last 6 games, the Texans have yielded the 12th highest yards per reception and the 6th most receiving yards and touchdowns to wide receivers. So for me, Ridley makes for a really high-end wide receiver 2 this week. And also a little sneaky play, at least in terms of the coverage that the Texans play the most. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine actually averages almost one fantasy point per route run.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
In this matchup as well. So, like, the dude just been, like, Will Fuller-esque, like, scoring touchdowns. Like, he just doesn't stop scoring touchdowns. He's scored, like, a massive amount of touchdowns this year. But I do think that, like, he's at least a decent option this week as, like, if you're really hurting a ton of players on bye this week, you could look there. But either way, Calvin Ridley has been a dog since getting this opportunity. So, I really do like Calvin Ridley in this matchup this week.
Yeah, never feels particularly good leaning on Will Levis to get you there. But like you said, with the amount of targets that he's seeing, he only has to hit on a couple of those. Speaking of someone who only needs to hit on a couple of those, I'm going to talk about Jameson Williams next. He's always someone who's going to be a little bit more boom bust, but this is a spot where I think the boom is a little bit higher than the bust potential. The Colts have allowed the 8th most yards to receivers on the year, including the 7th most yards after the catch. And among wide receivers who have run at least 100 routes, Williams has the 2nd highest yards after catch per reception number at nearly 10.5. Additionally, Williams has the 9th highest average depth of target, and the Colts have allowed the 4th most completed air yards on the season. So, this is a spot where you're obviously loading up all of your Lions. Even if Sam Laporta comes back in this one, obviously missed last week with that shoulder injury. I still like Jameson Williams here. It muddies the waters a little bit, but you know, like we were talking about with the running backs, the Lions just don't care, right? They're gonna go out there. They're gonna have their starters on the field until, you know, as late as possible, even if they are up by damn near 50 points. So there's still gonna be plenty of outs for Williams to get there in Week 12.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot for the Lions offense. I mean, that is the best part, is that you know that they're just, whether they're up or not, like they're not going to go away. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing. I mean, like I said, I mean they were still peppering Amon Ross St. Brown with touchdowns and targets late in that game. And so great thing for fantasy purposes. So for me, the next up is going to be in the same game, just on the other side of the field, is going to be Josh Downs. Downs continues to be the Colts' best wide receiver. He's seeing a 30% first read target share and is receiving a respectable 26% target share, which ranks top 12 among all wide receivers. He also checks all the boxes when it comes to efficiency-wise. He ranks 13th in yards per out run, 21st in yards per pass attempt, and 12th in yards after the catch, and he's averaging about 15 fantasy points per game. But this week, he gets a really good matchup. The Lions are a slot funnel. They allow the third most PPR points to the slot. The Lions play man coverage 47% of the time. Downs has scored 0.60 fantasy points per route run against man coverage this year, which is top 20 among all wide receivers. They play cover three and cover four around 40% of the time, which is the fifth highest rate in the league. And Downs has the fourth highest fantasy points per route run against both of those coverages this year. Basically, the main part of this is going to be if Anthony Richardson can play like he did last weekend, then I do think Downs is in it for a really solid matchup again this week. I know there's some worry there because the Lions defense does get after the quarterback. They are creating a turnover on 17.3% of all their drives, which is top three among all defenses this year. They're not doing a great job of getting pressure. They're bottom half of the league in pressure rate this year, but you know, they are doing a very good job of turning over teams. And so it does make you a little bit worried. Anthony Richardson, especially earlier in the season, really struggled with turnovers earlier in the season, but I was really, really, really surprised how well he played last week. Looked like the quarterback we were hoping to be, 270 passing yards. And so I do think Josh Downs is definitely the preferred wide receiver one within this offense. Alec Pierce would be a close second behind him. Pierce is more of the field stretcher, somebody that you're going to sit on go routes, stuff like that. But Josh Downs just continues to be the more consistent option and probably the best wide receiver this team has on their team. And I don't say that lightly because I'm a big Michael Pittman guy, but we've seen it now for 2 years running that Josh Downs is just a better wide receiver than Michael Pittman is overall. I think he is a stud. I think he is a very, very good wide receiver, underrated in terms of what he can be. And I think next year he should be viewed as probably a top 20 wide receiver. Like, I don't think that's crazy to say. Like, we've seen it now when he's healthy, this dude's a baller.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we should have been too surprised either, because that was exactly the report we were getting this offseason during training camp. If you remember, that it was Josh Downs was looking like the best wide receiver for that Colts team. I do wonder how much the injuries are playing into it with Pittman, but there's no doubting that Josh Downs is a dog, and love seeing that. He was one of my favorite wide receivers whenever he came out his rookie season. But moving on to my third play of the week at wide receiver, I'm going to go back to the well with Courtland Sutton here. The Raiders have actually somehow allowed the seventh fewest fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. I think some of that is schedule driven, as well as the fact that they're just getting absolutely pummeled on the ground. Las Vegas has faced guys, though, like Deshaun Watson, Justin Fields, going to hobble Justin Herbert in week one, I think that was. They also had Stafford without Kupp or Puka in the game that they face them. The Broncos rushing attack, you know, I talked about really liking Javonte Williams this week, but it simply isn't like consistent enough to think that they're just going to control this through the ground like we saw them do against the Saints a couple weeks ago. But since Courtland Sutton's game against the Saints, where he saw zero targets in week six, he is ninth among wide receivers in target share, has nearly 35% of the team's receiving yards, which also ranks ninth. And he is tied for 10th in first read percentage over that time.
Yeah, Sutton's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, really, the last month, month and a half, I mean, this Broncos passing offense has been so good this year, at least recently. And Sutton, who was starting to feel like an afterthought because really hadn't done a whole lot to start the season, has really started to turn it on. So that has been a big positive. And yes, I totally agree. I mean, he gets one of the the better matchups of the entire weekend. So next up for me is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. And I know there's probably some hesitancy coming off of whenever he had, you know, the huge game where he scored almost 29 PPR points. And then the last couple of weeks has been a little bit down. But I will say matchups haven't been great for him the last 2 weeks. I mean, you got the Broncos with Patrick Surtain. He saw a lot of Patrick Surtain in the game. So he only was only targeted five times. And then you had the Buffalo game where, once again, the Bills are really good against outside wide receivers. It is where they've been gotten is by on the inside of the slot. And so the Chiefs' offense just didn't really look great either in that game. But this week feels like a very much like a very big bounce-back game for them. And just on paper, DeAndre Hopkins is drawing the best matchup here among all wide receivers for this team right now. Basically, he has a top 12 matchup this week. The Panthers run cover three nearly 50% of the time. And Hopkins has performed best against that coverage this year. That is the best coverage that he faces, averaging nearly 0.7 fantasy points per route run against that coverage this year. So DeAndre Hopkins is in a really good spot. I also obviously really like Travis Kelce, but I think these two are the two that I really want to focus on this week, are the two guys that I really want to play. I get it, you know, for people that are probably a little bit hesitant because of how he's played the last 2 weeks, but this is a much better matchup for him. And honestly, moving forward, they get some really good matchups moving forward. I mean, this was kind of like their last, like, really tough game. They do get the Steelers, and then they also get the Texans, and then a couple games within the division. But the worst part of their schedule is now over, and now they have one of the more easier schedules rest of season. So I do think DeAndre Hopkins is going to get more involved within this offense. Remember, he's only been here for a few weeks, so they're starting to get him more acclimated into the offense, trying to get – and this is one of the harder offenses to learn. It is why, generally speaking, we continue to see this team bring in players that knows this team, has been around a long time. It's why they brought back Juju Smith-Schuster when they needed a wide receiver because he already knew the offense. So for DeAndre Hopkins, he's kind of learning on the fly, and he's only running about 60% of the routes. I do anticipate moving forward that's going to continue to climb and get more and more higher because he is clearly the best wide receiver. I know Xavier Worthy has been there, but clearly Mahomes does not have faith in him because Mahomes continually is throwing the ball when he is wide open, almost out of the out of bounds. Like the game against the Bills, he had an opportunity to hit him what should have been a touchdown, and he threw it to the sideline. Obviously, Xavier Worthy should have caught the ball, but he didn't track it well enough and got out of bounds. So it was a positive for Xavier Worthy. I still think you might look at Xavier Worthy as an option this week, but I also wouldn't get caught up in thinking that what we saw last week is what they're going to do again this week, because I would not expect that either.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that game last week is going to be like the wake-up call that the Chiefs needed. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't looked particularly dominant at all, and to go out and lose in that fashion and – you know, they need to get that offense going with the playoffs coming up. So I'm with you. I really like that spot for. I mean, it's hard not to like the Chiefs just in general, but like that spot for them this week against the lowly Panthers. Which, by the way, my child has decided that the Chiefs are going to be his team, which is fine. It's whatever. The only thing I told him is that Penn State was not off the table. Like that was the only choice he did not have in his like sports fandom. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if there's some like nosebleeds for, you know, that are going for like a decent amount with it being the Panthers. As of right now, the cheapest ticket was like $125 a pop. So he will not be going. He will not be going to his first NFL game.
That's crazy. I guess maybe it's because of the Chiefs. I guess maybe
100%. 100%.
Because I'm like, the Panthers are terrible this year. Like, how are they not giving away tickets? You know, but maybe because of the Chiefs. I guess I don't know. That's crazy. Because I was actually wondering that if you were going to take them. I know you sent me some of the stuff with them and Chiefs stuff. But yeah, maybe try to get them down there. Maybe get some autographs or something like that. You know, I don't know if team. NFL players really do that so much as baseball players do, but you know, that's a shame.
Yeah, I might try and look again on Sunday morning to see if anyone is, you know, going to give up on trying to get, you know, $125 per. Because if I was looking at next week, the Panthers have the Bucks at home, and there's tickets as low as $17 for next week. So has to just be the Chiefs, or you know, my wife is convinced that it's because people are going to see if Taylor Swift is going to be there. So that's what she thinks anyway.
The T sizzle effect. I mean, you know, it's real.
I guess, man. But moving on to my final, I don't feel comfortable calling this one of my plays of the week, and you know, really putting my name behind it. But I do think that there is a possibility that this player is ranked a little too low. And if these early rankings hold for the rest of the week, he's consensus-wise right now like a back-end wide receiver 3. I have him right outside of my top 24, and that is DJ Moore. Something I could not believe when I looked at it. So DJ Moore had 7 targets last week, right? Kev, do you have any idea what his average depth of target was? Do you know?
I know it was a lot of screens, so my guess would have been like 3 or 4.
0.9.
Oh, I was
giving it way too much credit. I saw that. I was like, all right, there's no way. This is a glitch. So I went and checked multiple sites. So that's what it was. So unless these sites are, all pulling information from the same place, 0.9 average depth of target on 7 targets just feels impossible. But this is interesting to me because we know that Minnesota is just going to blitz the absolute piss out of Caleb Williams. The Thomas Brown, the interim OC, he knows this as well. So if we're going to get this type of A dot out of DJ Moore again, you know, just trying to get the ball out of his hands as quick as possible for Caleb Williams, Moore could easily see double digits in this one, especially if it's going to take looks away from Keenan Allen and Romo Dunze. Could just be dump off city here between him and DeAndre Swift. Maybe Cole Kmet gets a little bit more involved as well. So again, not stamping this as a play of a week for me. But if you have to roll out DJ Moore because of bye weeks, injuries at the position, like we were talking about, I think there's a little bit more hope here than what you might see across rankings this week, especially with the Vikings giving up the 3rd most fantasy points per game to wideouts. But that was something I saw that I genuinely could not believe I was seeing.
Yeah, we did see some shifts overall, just the way the offense was ran last week with Shane Fraudrin gone. I mean, we also saw DeAndre Swift, who was averaging, I mean, he was handling like 85% of the opportunities, and that completely shifted to more of a split between him and Roschon Johnson. So we'll see what else, is up their sleeve here. Obviously, the offense looked better. Caleb Williams ran the ball a lot more than I think people were expecting. So it was a really close game, and they really should have won that game, just got their hearts broken at the very end. But thankfully, at least, as long as Shane Frogren's gone, we're okay. So I do love that. I did want to mention there was one player, I guess, that I wanted to mention, but I kind of went back and forth on him. But I just want to highlight really quickly is JSN. JSN has been phenomenal. And, like, honestly, I didn't see last week really coming because I thought with DK Metcalf coming back, he would go back to kind of being the low ADOT guy that he was. Yeah. But he was still, I mean, handled a ton of opportunities. Saw it was targeted 11 times, has been targeted 24 times the last 2 weeks that he's played. He is averaging almost 30 fantasy points per game the last 2 weeks. Obviously, that's not sustainable, but he's been a really reliable option. I mean, he's been a top 36 wide receiver every single week but one since week 4. So while it hasn't necessarily been great all year, he's still the wide receiver 16 in fantasy points per game. They do get this matchup against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, one area they have struggled a little bit is in the slot. They allow the 10th most PPR points to the position. And so JSN, I think, is just also in a really good spot here. Really like to see what we saw this week with DK Metcalf coming back. He actually out-targeted DK Metcalf. Metcalf saw 9 targets to 11 for JSN. So really like this emergence. And hopefully a sign of things moving forward, even not just this year but next, because it was kind of frustrating to start the year with him because we were really hoping that, you know, with Shane Frogren gone, that we were going to see a much more expanded role, and they were utilizing him a lot different. It's pretty much the same similar way there to start the year, where it was all short, intermediate routes, really low ADOT. I mean, his ADOT was 74th overall at 9.3, which actually that feels like a mile compared to what DJ Moore saw last week. But still, overall, I still think JSN has been a really big surprise, especially down the stretch. It could end up being providing to be a league winner, but this is also a good spot here at home against the Cardinals. So, that being said, let's move over to our some buys for this week. I think, you know, with there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. I tried to not just go after like the biggest names of them all, right? The Breece Halls, which is going to be tough now. He would have been a buy prior to this last game and had a big week, but guys like that, because those guys tend to cost a lot more. Even though people think those are buy lows, I saw somebody put like Bijan Robinson. I'm like, do you know how much that's going to cost to get Bijan Robinson? You know, like it's just. I would rather be more a little bit more cost effective with some of the names that you can go out and try to get that can end up helping you, putting you over the top for the fantasy playoffs. So my first guy that I'm going to hit on is going to be James Conner. He is currently the RB17 right now. But in all reality, I want to buy all Cardinals, okay? The Cardinals have one of the best remaining schedules for any offense moving forward. But Conner right now, he's currently handling around 62% of the snaps, 57% of the rush attempts. He's seeing 11% target share, which is pretty healthy for him. He's been pretty reliable, scoring 14 or more PPR points in every game but two this year. He ranks fifth in red zone touches, ninth in explosive run rate, and first in evaded tackles. But he has the easiest fantasy playoff schedule with matchups against the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Rams. And so, honestly, James Conner is a smash during that span. And if you have him, you're holding him. But if you can try to get him, especially coming off a bye, it's a little bit easier to acquire players that are coming off bye weeks because they don't have that vividness people that would have with certain players when a player goes off. That I think it could be a little bit easier to acquire him. So, and like I said, whether it's Marvin Harrison, whether it's James Conner, whether it's Kyler Murray, whether it's Trey Benson as like a throw-in or a pickup off the waiver wire, like I wanted access to all of these guys because their schedule to close out the year is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of the same route I went, because in true TFA fashion, we didn't really talk about who any of our guys were going to be beforehand. But that was the same route I went. I went with some guys who were going to be a little bit cheaper, a little easier to get that way, even for folks who are trying to like claw their way in or for people who are kind of already sitting at the top and maybe just trying to, solidify the rest of their roster or even just get like a nice depth option. That's kind of the route I went, but I'll lead off with Courtland Sutton and especially a wide receiver where we've had so many injuries as well. I thought wide receiver could be a spot that some people might be looking at, but over the past 4 weeks, Courtland Sutton, 38 targets, ninth in target share among wide receivers during that time. And their playoff schedule is really nice as well with the Chargers, Colts, and Bengals. That Cincy game could potentially cause some issues just because it's going to be a week 17 game in Cincinnati. So who knows what the weather is going to be like when that game gets here. But it's not like this is going to be a complete shock to a team traveling from Denver either. So they're obviously used to the elements up there. The usage is just so strong, and Bo Nix has been starting to come around. And now his team is going to be in the playoff hunt as well. They have a week 14 bye. So if you are trying to, kind of claw your way in, might not be the best option just because you're obviously not going to be able to plug him into your lineups during week 14, which could leave you sitting out in the cold for your fantasy playoffs. But that bye week could prove pretty useful for the Broncos as they try and get everything ready for that final stretch of games for them to try and head into the postseason.
Yeah, I also kind of like low-key. It's not a bye, but Devon Vele has started to come on a little bit as well. It's more of an ad. This Broncos offense is, and all things considered, I mean, this team is devoid of a lot of talent. It's not like they have a good tight end. It's basically Courtland Sutton and a ragtag group of players. So I think as they add more to this offense, and I think they're going to have some money to spend this offseason and just through the draft, like I think this team's going to get, is going to continue to get better. And this is going to be an offense. And honestly, the AFC West in a couple of years could be an absolute juggernaut to try to get through because with the way that Justin Herbert, the Chargers have looked, what the Broncos are starting to build, and, if the Raiders could ever stop being the Raiders, then maybe they can join the party. But, The AFC West is looking pretty good. So I'm going to keep it going, and I'm going to talk about another running back for me, and it's going to be Tyrone Tracy. And, again, another, coming off their bye week. But like I've said, this guy is taking over this backfield, and he's been really effective on a per-touch basis, ninth in missed tackle force per attempt, third in yards after contact per attempt, third in explosive run rate. He is the RB34 in fantasy points per game, so that's where it kind of comes in. Like, he's not going to be as much cost to acquire. But he's been really, really good down this stretch. And the Giants actually have the fifth easiest remaining schedule for running backs. They get matchups against the Ravens, Falcons, Colts, and the fantasy playoffs. The Ravens isn't as good. But what we have seen most teams do is really pepper their running backs against the Ravens, kind of use their screen passes as an extension of the run. Saw that with Chase Brown, where he was targeted 11 times. Obviously, that's something that Tyrone Tracy can do. And we have seen Tyrone Tracy be really good in bad matchups because against the Eagles a few weeks ago, The Eagles are one of the best run defenses in the league, and he had one of his best games of the season in that game. So I don't think it's the end of the world for that, but just really love this spot. Love the matchups that Tyrone Tracy has coming. And if you're really looking for a running back, I think he's somebody that you could probably go out and look to acquire.
I will go ahead and double down on the rookie running backs here. I'm going to go Bucky Irving. The touches have really consolidated since the weird Sean Tucker involvement we had a few weeks ago. But after the Giants this week, the Bucs get the Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, and Cowboys. Outside of the Chargers game, who, you know, we saw some chinks in that armor with Chase Brown, the strong game that he had. But outside of the Chargers game, those other three teams are all in the top eight in terms of fantasy points allowed per game to running backs. So I think Bucky Irving is someone who, you know, if you are able to get this done ahead of time before he goes out and gets this game against the Giants, that's definitely something I would look to do. Like you were mentioning with, you know, guys coming off of bye week, that could help as well. But Bucky Irving is definitely somebody I'd be looking to acquire if I possibly can.
Yeah, I really like that call. And he's been really good this year.
Yeah.
You know, and he was somebody that, you know, that early in the process I wasn't as high on, but as the offseason went by, I started to get more and more high on him and started to become somebody that I felt like was going to be a real threat. I remember right before the season started, I did a video, I think, on sleepers. And actually, you know, I'm going to break my hand with give myself a pat on the back, but I went and watched it the other day because I was just curious, like, who I had in there. And I think I pretty much crushed every single one of them I had. Like, every one of them were solid. So, like, for once, like, normally you go back and watch it, it's like, oh, my God, what was really I doing talking about any of these guys? But this one actually was really good. I think all but one was a hit. And so he was one of the guys I had on there. This was one of the concerns you had for Rashad White, because Rashad White's never been good on the ground. Like, that's never been he's always been really good as a pass catcher. What saved Rashad White a lot this year is his ability to be able to pass protect. And that's something that they've talked about that they really love him for. And that's why I think that third down role is always going to be there for him. But I wouldn't shock me if, especially after the bye, that we start to see more and more where Bucky Irving is more of just the early down back, handling first and second down and getting some pass catching work in there as well, where Rashad White just becomes more of a PPR option only because that's all of the work he's seeing. Because honestly, Bucky Irving has been awesome so far this year as a runner. So he deserves that expanded role that he's seeing. So I want to hit on the last guy for me. It's going to be Brian Thomas. I get it. There's not a lot of excitement with the Jaguars right now and their offense or their defense for that matter. But it does sound like Trevor Lawrence has a shot to return after their bye week. So that is a big positive. And we did see finally Brian Thomas kind of break out after a little mini slump where he went 5 for 82 last week against the Lions. Now, granted, some of that might have been in garbage time, but we don't care in fantasy football. Fantasy points are fantasy points. But honestly, though, Brian Thomas has been one of the most productive rookie wide receivers through the first 9 weeks of the season before he suffered that injury. Then he's kind of had a little bit of regression, but he kind of bounced back a little bit. But I just want people to understand that how good Brian Thomas has been this year. He's been 16th in yards per route run, 19th in yards per team pass attempt, 9th in separation score, 10th in EPA per play, 8th in fantasy points per route run. Like I said, I mean, he's been, you know, one of the better rookie wide receivers this year. And honestly, it's been kind of an up and down hill for rookie wide receivers this year, where, you know, Marvin Harrison has flashed at times. Malik Nabers looked really good, but then he started to struggle a little bit recently. But I think that has more to do with the quarterback play than anything. But like, Brian Thomas has been one of the more consistent rookie wide receivers this year, and that is despite playing in one of the worst offenses, if not the worst offense of the league so far, the way this team has played so far this year. So I think Brian Thomas is going to be an absolute baller moving forward, especially next year. But as far as the rest of the season is concerned, they have a really favorable remaining schedule with matchups against the Texans coming out of their bye. They get the Titans twice, the Jets, and the Raiders, all matchups that you feel pretty decent about. And so I think Brian Thomas is going to be somebody that can definitely help you down the stretch, and especially if Trevor Lawrence is able to return. And remember, they lost Christian Kirk, and not just that, they just lost Gabe Davis to IR. And so this is a very thinned out wide receiver room right now. And so, you know, once we come off bye here, and as long as Trevor Lawrence is able to return, which that seems like the reports were, it could be absolute wheels up for Brian Thomas to finish the season. So I think Brian Thomas is a definite buy low right now.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense, like you said, especially with Gabe Davis hitting IR. So I like that call a lot. Last guy I'm going to talk about is going to be Jakobi Meyers. has a really rough two-game stretch ahead between this week and next week. But then after that, my friend, the seas part, the skies open up, the fantasy gods come down, they give Jakobi Meyers a little. And as a congratulations for making it through that stretch, the Raiders get the Bucks, Falcons, and Jags in the fantasy playoffs. And outside of week 11, Meyers had been posting really strong usage numbers and fantasy output. So I think after these two games, he bounces back. So not someone that, like, if you're trying to make your way into it, you're probably going to want to go after. But I think in like 12 team leagues, like if you're like a middling team, like if you feel good about making it in the playoffs, if you're trying to like solidify maybe that flex spot or your wide receiver three spot, something like that, I think Jakobi Meyers makes a ton of sense for those types.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. I think that's a really good call. Jakobi Meyers is seeing like a ridiculous 30% target share since D-Hop was traded. So he's been really good. It's basically him and Brock Bowers. So you love that. The consolidated target shares, not a lot of stuff you have to worry about. So I definitely think that is a very good call. But other than that, you know, I think those are kind of the guys that I really wanted to hit on that made the most sense to talk about. Again, you know, I think a lot of times we do it all the time, especially on like the Wednesday show, whenever we go live. But if you've never, you know, listened to this on a podcast, you know, if you've never been in there, you know, we answer every single question. But so often it's like, oh, hey, I want to trade for Tyreek Hill, or I want to trade for
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, like it is so hard to get that done. And what you're going to have to give up is never really worth it versus being able to go after a player like a Tyrone Tracy or something like that, Brian Thomas, that it's not going to cost you as much to be able to acquire that player, but that I think they can pay off in a big way. And so, like, that's what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for upside. I'm going to try to get as many, you know, handcuff running backs to my roster at this point. You know, as where the season's winding down, because I hope it doesn't happen. I hope we don't get any injuries the rest of the year. But I just have a feeling that we're going to see something with the running back, because it's just been way too – it's like the calm before the storm almost, because, like, it's been way too quiet around here with running backs this year. And hope, knocking on wood, because I really hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, there is a ton of really good, very, very, very available handcuff running backs. And those guys are easy – so as a throw in on a trade or something like that. But Braylon Allen, Jalen Wright, Trey Benson, you know, a lot of these running backs that I want to try to acquire right now that can help you down the stretch.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to be dropping a handcuff ranking piece of content later this week. So I'm going to go over those guys that are available in 50% or more of ESPN leagues and trying to like give a ranking, because that's another question we've gotten a bunch is, you know, like, which ones do you want to go after? Because like you said, there are a lot that are widely available that should not be sitting out there on waivers, especially this time of year. So that'll be coming out shortly as well.
Love it. Love to see it. So that being said, I think that'll do it. Felt good. Felt good getting back in the saddle. I will say we've talked about this, that it's been too long. Like, you know, doing like YouTube content and videos and all stuff is awesome. But like, you're also really trying to like rush through it so you keep the time down, because you don't want to have some super long video because people aren't going to watch it. And so like, we've kind of gotten away from like actually like discussing things and having more of a like a nuanced conversation about stuff. So yeah, this felt a lot better. It didn't feel forced, you know, like sometimes YouTube content can get. So really appreciate that. And so we're going to keep doing this. If you haven't already, wherever you're listening this through, this our podcast is available everywhere. Anywhere a podcast can be found, hit that subscribe button. If you like, you can join our free Discord. Absolutely free. Costs you nothing. All you do is click the link and you're in, and that's it. It's a very active group. Always conversations going on. People in there talking fantasy football 24/7. So that is a lot of fun. That's good to see. So if you want to jump in there, you can. Or if you haven't already, you can also check us out on YouTube. Like I said, we go live every Wednesday night. We answer every single start sit question, trade question, waiver question that everybody has, all the way up until sometimes we've went 2 or 3 hours before. Well, 2 hours is standard, but we went 3, I think even 4 hours almost before on shows getting all the questions answered. And we do the same thing on Sunday as well for about an hour, hour and a half before kickoff to kind of get everybody ready to go. So if you haven't, come over and check that out over at YouTube, hit that subscribe button. But other than that, Cody, you got anything else?
No, man. Just like you said, it's good to get back in the podcasting chair. I wish we would have kept all the all the times we fucked up on the intro because because it's been so long that it was like, man, how do we do a podcast before? So it was good getting back to do it. It's nice just to be able to have kind of like a free flowing conversation. And as always, it's week 12. Got to start getting ready for the fantasy playoffs, and we're always here to help. So no matter how you want to get in your questions, Twitter, all that stuff, you can find us damn near everywhere.
Yep. All right. That being said, like I said, I hope everybody has a good rest of the week. Let's get those W's this week, and we'll be back again next week for a very similar conversation, maybe some different topics. So stay tuned. We'll see you on the next one.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.